Hey, feeling unsure about your finances these days? You're not alone. That's why Noble Gold Investments is here to help. Just hear it straight from the people who they've helped. The Noble crew walked me through everything with no stress. With their help, I could finally sleep easy at night. And now this month, Noble Gold Investments is handing out a free 5-ounce silver America the Beautiful coin if you qualify for an IRA. Invest in gold and silver with Noble Gold Investments. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com right now. Hey, everybody. Thanks, Charlie Kirk Show. A new senator from California. We introduce you to her. And then we also discuss with Laura Logan the border and January 6th. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Become a member of the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com and click on the members tab. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. So there was great intrigue after the passing of Dianne Feinstein. Who is going to be the next senator from California? So Gavin Newsom put himself in a corner because he said, look, it's going to be an affirmative action pick. It's going to be a black female. So everyone was, ooh, is it going to be Oprah Winfrey? Is Meghan Markle black? I can't remember. Is she black? I can't. She's part black. No, I know that, but was it Indian? I can't keep track of all the different identity politics stuff. Because Kamala Harris, they say, is black, but she's also part Indian and part Jamaican. Again, skin color means nothing to me. It's completely irrelevant. And so, Meghan Markle is mixed. Got it. Dad is Caucasian. Mom is African American, half black, half white. It's really funny. Here's where you know that there's no such thing as white privilege. If there is white privilege, then people who are half black and half white would only identify as white and not black. The best tell ever is in college admissions. If you have someone who's half black and half white, which box do you think they're going to check? So Gavin Newsom makes this decision over the weekend. The name that we all know, LaFonza Butler. Not Oprah, not Meghan Markle. I know. Who the heck is LaFonza Butler? I never heard of LaFonza Butler before, so I have no idea if LaFonza Butler is a scholar, a smart person, but I'm always going to think, like, I don't know if she's really qualified because she was selected merely for her characteristics that don't matter. And I think that's honestly a disservice to LaFonza Butler. I think it's a disservice to have someone selected. I mean, she's always going to have to be like, hey, you know you were selected because you basically checked off all of the woke boxes. And so if you go to LaFonza, oh, she has another box, by the way, that she checked up. I'll tell you, LaFonza Butler, she's really big into pro-choice and reproductive freedom for all. And so Gavin Newsom vowed to appoint her to this. Now, the question is, will she then run for the Senate race or will that Senate primary continue? That's an interesting question. She supposedly will not, but you never know. I mean, LaFonza Butler, she might start to woo people and say, wow, we want more LaFonza Butler. We want more of that. Now, LaFonza Butler is also another thing. She's also lesbian. So you have the black, you have female, you have lesbian. I mean, she is the high priestess of the oppression Olympics. Look at her. She's super. I mean, you've never seen a person as oppressed as LaFonza Butler. In fact, they needed to find a way to try to appoint a black female, happen to be lesbian, that they couldn't even find one in California. She's registered to vote in Maryland. Now, we don't know if she's a resident of California or not, but she lives in Maryland. Her Twitter profile says Maryland, and she's registered to vote in Maryland. Now, maybe she has some condominium in Santa Monica or something that we're unaware of. Or Gavin Newsom just says, I could just appoint anybody to be a U.S. senator. Forget the residency requirements. Blake, is that right that you don't even have to live in the state to become a senator of the state? I thought that would be kind of like a basic requirement. Or you could just kind of appoint anybody to anything. Oh, she can just change her residency. Ah, yeah, she could just magically I'm now a farmer in Clovis, California. Right. So here is the scholar, LaFonza Butler, play cut 27.
Since the dawn of patriarchy, women have had their power stolen. Time and again, we have been told what we can and cannot do, what choices we can and cannot make about our lives and our futures. But time and again, we have come together across race and across place to respond to questions about our rights with clarity and resolve. Our bodies belong to us. Our freedoms are not up for debate.
So that is LaFonza Butler, everybody. I just seeing a little glimpse of her. I don't think she's going to give up power willingly. She might actually end up going into the Senate primary. You're trying to tell me LaFonza Butler, who is like this abortion activist? She's also was a regent on the University of California system. Which is interesting. How could you become a regent in California and not be a resident of California? That's really strange. She also ran Black Pack, the National Children's Defense Fund, board of the Bay Area Economic Council Institute. She went to Jackson State University, which interestingly enough is an HBCU, and Deion Sanders actually coached there before going to coach at University of Colorado. She also was involved in the SEIU public policy campaigns and campaigns at Airbnb. So she checks all the boxes, every box you can imagine. But it gets even better. So Gavin Newsom appoints her, and there'll be no consequences for appointing basically an out-of-stater. And I can't help but enjoy one part of this, a little bit of delight in the suffering of my enemy. The one person who is just wishing that he was a black woman right now is Adam Schiff. No person has ever wished that he was not white and a male as much as Adam Schiff. This guy is one of the most power-hungry, ambitious, just nasty human beings ever to exist in American politics. Adam Schiff is an outright liar. Never forget Adam Schiff, pencil head, pencil neck, goes on TV. We have evidence. Can you get that tape? I don't want to misquote him. I never want to misquote. But he said something of the essence that there will be evidence that is going to come out against, you know, whatever. Against Donald Trump, that there's going to be evidence that's going to come out to prove that Donald Trump colluded with the Russian government. So Adam Schiff is running in the California Democrat primary, and that is a nasty primary. Let me tell you, you got Katie Porter. How long until Katie Porter wears blackface? I'm black too. Oh yeah. Okay. There it is. Thank you. Adam Schiff, evidence in plain sight. He is a liar, but in some ways you have to just kind of enjoy the Game of Thrones fight in California. Because all of these, Adam Schiff, Katie Porter, deep down, I know they have resentment for affirmative action. I know it. If you got Adam Schiff under a lie detector test, if you had some sort of truth serum you could give Adam Schiff, and because he parrots all this stuff on affirmative action, and you say, hey, do you really believe in affirmative action? He's like, rob me of my Senate seat. So now LaFonza Butler, an out-of-stater black female lesbian who has never held elected office except being on a regent board, is now a U.S. senator of the most populous state in the country. And so for that, I just think it's hilarious. I think it's hilarious that the most loyal, the most obedient bagmen of the Democrat Party that just carry the water of the entire regime, Schiff, Porter, that they get screwed by the very ideology that they try to push on the rest of the country. I just find that hilarious. For no other reason than Adam Schiff is the closest thing to a scum of a politician I think that we can find. He should be expelled from the House. He's lied under oath. He was the chief pusher of the Russia hoax, of the whole Mueller thing. That was all him. And you could just probably imagine Adam Schiff, but I deserve that Senate seat. Nope, sorry. You don't have the right characteristics. You are not a black female lesbian. So LaFonza Butler is now the U.S. She's going to be sworn in as the U.S. Senator. And by the way, it just shows how much contempt elite Democrats have for their state as well. They know that they've conquered the state. And I've said this before. I was asked by a moderate Republican recently, but Charlie, what do the Democrats really want? They want to create the whole country to be a one-party state the same way they have California. absolute power. There are no competitive elections. They get whatever they want done, however they want. And I was just in California yesterday. It is so sad. The homelessness, the vagrancy, the hopelessness, the looting, the crime. They couldn't care less. There's no check and balance. They've removed elections as a means to check and balance the American Democrat Party. Best of luck, LaFonza Butler. I can always say, though, the American people always look at you as someone who got the job, not because of your brilliance, not because of your accomplishments, not because of the will of the voters, but because you checked the boxes. That's exactly the way affirmative action is meant to be. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. When I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of mine and Turning Point USA, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. Free activation when you say offer code CHARLIE. Join me today and make the switch today to this excellent company. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. If any other country, let's just say a hypothetical, let's say Russia. Let's say hypothetically in Russia, there was a very wealthy former president of Russia who did a lot of real estate development all over the country. And a court in Russia decided to go after that person and just confiscate all the assets. Imagine if Putin's regime claims that his number one opponent engaged in fraud, yet no actual victims have been named. We would put sanctions on Russia for that kind of behavior. If this happened in Namibia, in Tanzania, if this happened in Laos, the State Department would be issuing statements. This is very wrong. We are going to submit articles at the UN, and we're going to use all diplomatic channels to try to prevent this from happening because democracy is too important. Well, add this to the list. And this is obviously so coordinated. You have Jack Smith, you have Fannie Willis, and this Letitia James vector is increasing. Marxism does not allow the ownership of private property. And this is not an exaggeration. If this judge gets his way in New York, if these standings hold for this civil fraud trial, which, by the way, from what I understand, didn't even have a jury, was just a lawsuit that the New York Attorney General put forward. They could literally confiscate Donald Trump's assets. Trump Tower, which is one of the most remarkable real estate deals ever done in the history of urban development, period. How he was able to buy the air rights. He was the first one to be able to really start the standard of world-class architecture mixed with modern sort of aesthetic. It was unbelievable what he got done. Buying the air rights over Tiffany's. He wrote all about it in The Art of the Deal. Not to mention all of his other New York assets. Donald Trump, no exaggeration, employed tens of thousands of people, probably as much as hundreds of thousands of people if you count the construction and the maintenance throughout the years, paying hundreds of millions of dollars in taxes, in sales tax, real estate tax, giving tens of millions of dollars away in charity, saving the Woolman Rink, saving the convention center, turning around the Commodore Hotel, which then became the Grand Hyatt, which I think is becoming something else now. Donald Trump was a big reason why New York became a world-class city. He was one of the developers that increased the appeal of New York. This is hard for some people to remember. New York was a dangerous city in the late 80s, early 90s. Donald Trump cleaned it up. He had a vision for New York that was, we're going to clean up the streets. We're going to make this the gold standard of America. New York was a, put nicely, a crap hole in the 1980s. Donald Trump saw potential. And now where he made so much money for so many people, where he created actual wealth, he now has to be targeted by Letitia James. Now, this is not a theme that we explore very often on this program. We must be very careful on the right never to become envious of people's success that take their stuff away. Donald Trump created real things and real hotels and real value and real apartments for people. This was not some sort of fake app that you download with users and revenue multiples. This was real wealth that Donald Trump created. Blue-collar jobs. Donald Trump owned the Plaza Hotel. And they're trying to say that, well, this was all done fraudulently. Who is the victim exactly in Donald Trump's civil fraud case? Anybody? There's no victim. The banks didn't sue him. The creditors didn't sue him. The lenders didn't sue him. The tenants didn't sue him. The New York Attorney General sued him. You want to talk about civil fraud? How about somebody goes sues the Clinton Foundation? But now that would take a Republican AG with a spine. We don't have such things. Letitia James ran on a vow to destroy Trump. And I don't care if you hate Donald Trump in this audience. And I'm so sick of hearing that from people. Oh, Charlie, I don't like his tone. He's having his assets confiscated from him if this judge's ruling stands. His assets. Because of a single judge and a Democrat AG who said, I'm going to go get Trump. This would make third world governments go into tumult. This is what Saudi Arabia does. Literally. Mohammed bin Salman comes out. He's like, yeah, I don't think my cousin should be able to own property. I'm going to lock him up in a hotel. Literally. He just did that like 5 years ago. And I was like, okay, that's like the law of the land, I guess, Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. It's what, whatever. It's kind of like shrug our shoulders. And then, of course, all the people in D.C., oh, Saudi Arabia is so authoritarian and autocratic. Meanwhile, Trump has some errant judge say, yeah, actually, you're running a fraudulent business. What is fraudulent about Trump Tower, the apartments, the condos, the golf courses? Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Do you get the feeling that the unthinkable is going to happen soon? Well, I do. Between the distractions and the smokescreens and the media, we probably might not even see it coming. You are 9 meals away from anarchy. That's why it's so smart to invest in emergency food right now. As they say, quote, it's better to have it, not need it, than to need it and not have it. My Patriot Supply is the nation's leader in high-quality emergency food. Head to MyPatriotSupply.com. That is MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare today with emergency food that will stay fresh for up to 25 years. Enjoy a wide variety of delicious food kits offering over 2,000 calories every day for optimum strength under stress. And don't forget about water filtration and purification products. These are perfect for your bug out bag, survival supply, and camping pack. One thing is for sure, in this world, we all need to stock up before panic sets in. Order by 3 p.m. and your item ships the same day, and that is really fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. It's time to prepare for what's coming, MyPatriotSupply.com. Joining us now is Laura Logan. Laura, thank you so much for taking the time. Tell us about your new January 6th documentary. So incredibly important. Laura, the floor is yours.
Well, it's called The Rest of the Story with Laura Logan, because what I find so frustrating as a journalist is that so many people tell the same story over and over and over again. And incredibly, Charlie, as you know, nobody's telling these stories. And so, I just gravitated towards things that I really believe are important. And mostly there is a false narrative out there about January 6th that is having a catastrophic impact on decent, good American citizens all over this country. And we don't know their names. We don't know anything about them. They're just names on a page. And so this series, really, it's done in the style of 60 Minutes. It's long form. It's 20-minute episodes every week. And what we're doing is really bringing people to life. And their stories represent many others behind them.
So tell us in particular kind of the things that you've learned and what are the big lies regarding January 6th?
Well, the biggest lie of all is that everyone who went to the Capitol on January 6th was an insurrectionist or was violent or went to overthrow the government or went to do something nefarious. You know, that's the first lie. The other lie is that anyone involved with January 6th is getting a fair trial. You know, there are no jury pools in Washington, D.C. that will ever deliver anything other than a guilty verdict. I mean, the jury pool has been permanently tainted by this administration, by the media, by the Republicans, right? The establishment Republicans who played along with this false narrative. And, you know, at best, that's the the limit of what they've done. At worst, they were complicit from the very beginning. And so, the other lie is, of course, that everyone who supported Trump, everyone who went to the Capitol went to do something nefarious. We don't know anything about these people. And we've been traveling all over the country, and it's been breathtaking at times to discover ordinary people in tiny unknown places who have absolute clarity when it comes to the principles and no hesitation in standing up. I mean, that kind of courage is in short supply on Capitol Hill. And there's a lot to be learned from these people.
So how many federal agents do you think were present on January 6th, Laura? What does your reporting suggest? What would be a fair estimate?
Well, I think that's unknowable. The truth is, right now, that's unknowable for us because that information is being withheld. So we know that, for example, the FBI was forced to acknowledge during the Proud Boys trial that it's some 30 or 40 agents were undercover on the ground. We know from one of the FBI whistleblowers that there were a lot of FBI who were on the ground who were supporting Donald Trump, and they've been encouraged to lie about what they were there, why they were there. We know from the FBI Inspector General's report that they lost control of how many agents were on the ground because there were so many. But what we also know is that it wasn't just the FBI that had undercover agents. There were people there from the Department of Homeland Security. There were people there from the Joint Terrorism Task Force. There were agents there from the Metropolitan Police Department. There were agents there from the MPD Special Narcotics Unit. What we don't know, Charlie, is what these undercover agents were doing, because they want to have it both ways, right? They want to say there was no reason for us to secure the Capitol with National Guard troops. But there was enough intelligence suggesting that there was this great existential threat to the United States posed by Trump supporters, so much so that we had to have, you know, untold numbers of undercover agents on the ground. And that's before we even start talking about their confidential human sources or informants, right? Because, you know, there are indications that the number of informants dwarfed the number of undercover agents. We do know from videos that we actually included one of those in one of our first episodes. We have an officer telling a Metropolitan Police Department officer telling a Capitol Police officer, we go undercover as Antifa in the crowd, right? So, I mean, there's more than enough evidence that they had people on the ground. And we know from looking at some of the cases, the role that these undercovers and informants played in guiding law enforcement to people who were on the ground. But what we really have not addressed, and this is a critical point, judges have refused to allow a defense of entrapment or the lesser charge, right? Because there's a lesser form of entrapment. So even though we know that there was, for example, Metropolitan Police Department officers encouraging people to climb the scaffolding, encouraging people to go forward, encouraging people to go into the Capitol, the judges have never, ever allowed any defense attorneys to even broach the issue of entrapment or the lesser charge in the courts, which is really quite extraordinary when you look at the events of January 6th. And that is definitely one of the things that we're talking about in this series.
So, Laura, the other part that I know that you're going to probably ask questions that just keeps on getting forgotten, who planted the pipe bombs? We must remember the sequence of events on the day of January 6th, that Donald Trump gives a speech. There were already people at the Capitol as Trump was speaking. And the New York Times actually was the first publication to say this, where there were some of the quote unquote Proud Boys that were already at the other side of the Capitol. They never went to the speech. They had no intention to go to the speech. They were at the Capitol doing whatever they were doing. And so the idea that Trump instigated it doesn't make sense because they were literally, you know, 3/4 of a mile away already at the Capitol. But then as we were covering this live on our broadcast, the confusing part, Laura, is all of a sudden at both the RNC and the DNC, there was an alleged bomb threat. So who planted those, and were they actually bombs, or were they things that look like bombs?
Well, it's a very, very good question. And first, I want to set the scene, Charlie. The Capitol building is a counterterrorism zone. Right after 9/11, the United States government wanted to know what will Al-Qaeda's next move be, right? And so they tasked intelligence agents to identify a potential strategy. It was called The result of that investigation was called Death by a Thousand Cuts. And one of the things our intelligence service did at the time was to identify potential targets and deem them counterterrorism zones. Why is that significant? Because it means that every single inch of the Capitol building and the Capitol grounds is under surveillance, right? It means, in fact, that the White House, all of these key areas that are counterterrorism zones, they have underground command centers that are staffed 24/7. They communicate with each other. There are tunnels connecting them. It is absolutely, I'm saying this to you because it is 100% impossible in the city of Washington, D.C., around counterterrorism zones, for the Capitol Police or the Metropolitan Police Department or anybody else with access to this these surveillance systems not to know who planted those so-called bombs. And I say so-called because I would point your audience to a fascinating and ridiculous article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. By the way, a publication I wrote for as a young journalist that I absolutely loved. And when I read this article, I didn't know whether, well, you know, one part of me wanted to weep and the other part of me just roared with laughter, because the fictitious story of the woman who supposedly worked for the Treasury Department, who was in her building in Washington, D.C. that Saturday and had to go around the block to do her laundry, right? And she supposedly walks down this alleyway that's connected to the RNC, and she happens to notice this pipe bomb just lying in the road. So you have, let me see, you have someone who is able, they're able to subvert the entire power of law enforcement, right? And counterterrorism agents and all the rest of it. And yet they just leave a pipe bomb lying in the streets. And when you read this article, Charlie, I think you will find it, you know, you will see all the things I'm talking about. This woman happened to come from, you know, somewhere in the Midwest where she had no real connections, but she goes and she studies in China. And while she's studying in China, she has a job, and then she goes to work in London, and she works, you know, for one of these big think tanks
and
in London.
Someone needs to look. What was her dissertation on, her master thesis on, Laura? Wasn't her master thesis on something of, I don't know, how to create a civil war?
Yeah, something like that. And she just happens to be reminded, looking at this pipe bomb, she thinks that maybe somewhere in her counterterrorism days at the think tank in London, she vaguely remembers what a pipe bomb looked like. I mean, I'm sorry, but I have never read such a load of absolute hogwash. And what my experience tells me, and I haven't verified this, I have not vetted it, but what I will tell you, every instinct in my body is screaming agency, 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 cover up. You know, BS. That story is absolute BS.
Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. When the government used emergency edicts during COVID to restrict the gathering and worship of churches, three pastors facing the risk of imprisonment, unlimited fines, and their own churches being ripped apart, took a courageous stand and reopened their doors in the face of a world that chose to comply. The Essential Church is a feature-length documentary that explores the struggle between the church and government throughout history. The story uncovers those who have sacrificed their lives throughout history for what they believe in. Rediscover why the church is essential and how we prove this stand remains true from a scientific, legal, and most importantly, a theological and biblical perspective. This is not your typical movie. It will change your life. You need to see this movie with your family and friends. The Essential Church is streaming today exclusively at SalemNow.com. That's Essential Church Movie streaming at SalemNow.com. That is SalemNow.com. Check out The Essential Church Movie. It's terrific. So go to SalemNow.com right now. Laura, tell us the truth of what's happening on the southern border. Children are being sex trafficked. Is that true?
Oh, yes, absolutely. That's 100% true. In fact, more people are being sex trafficked across the southern border today than at any time than ever in the history of this country. And not only that, but the people who are trafficking them are the most violent and powerful criminal cartels in the world. And it is inconceivable that they could be operating with such impunity without some kind of knowledge and therefore implied assistance from this administration. Because the reality is, if the administration wanted to shut down the border, they could do it tomorrow. They absolutely could. They could declare the cartels terrorist organizations and they could use the full power and weight of the federal government and they could stop it. But they choose not to do that. In fact, they've done the opposite. And it's infuriating when you see people arguing that this isn't an open border, because it's an absolute lie. You mentioned the Biden administration getting rid of DNA testing. Well, if you want to welcome people into your country, but you want to do it with at least some safeguards for people and for children who are being trafficked, then why would you not make any efforts to confirm people's identities, to make sure that they are really families, that a child is even related to the people? And why would you not be concerned about these tens of thousands of unaccompanied minors who are supposed to be coming here to be reunited with parents who've been living and working in the United States and separated from their loved ones, right? And yet they can't find their loved ones. I mean, where's the reunification of families happening? It's not. The Biden administration has admitted that some 85,000 children that it processed just disappeared. And that's months old, that information, right? So how many since then? You know, I know the whistleblower, Tara Rodas, and she is quite exceptional because she is one of the few whistleblowers that still has her job with the federal government because she works for the Inspector General's office. And let me tell you, when you talk to Tara Rodas, I mean, everything you know about the border, Charlie, is nothing compared to what that woman witnessed. And she was not a conservative. She wasn't a Trump supporter. She volunteered to work for the Biden administration because those were her political leanings. And she says that one after another, these caseworkers that she dealt with were coming forward and they were coming apart. I mean, when you're a caseworker, and you've got a 12-year-old boy who's wearing diapers because he was raped so many times on the journey to the United States, and there's no safeguards for him. They're not even acknowledging that people like this exist. I mean, people who work for this administration are coming apart, but they're afraid to come forward. There are a few. It's coming. But you know, the cost of standing up is so high that these people just keep quiet.
It is unbelievable, Laura. In closing, what is your reaction to Republicans not doing what's necessary to close the border?
They're disgusting. It's absolutely inexcusable. I mean, they can say whatever they like. They can come up with whatever excuse they want. There are women that the Texas Rangers and U.S. Marshals have rescued who are 8 months pregnant, being taken to a little office behind a gas station in Texas to be raped every single day to pay off their debt to the cartels. They know exactly what is happening. What we know is a fraction of the reality, but they have access to the full reality and they have done next to nothing. They should be ashamed of themselves.
Laura Logan, the rest of the story, check out your new series. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
Cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know. Streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime, on any screen, at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.